Thank you for listening to audio from Midway Mennonite Church. You can also listen to our sermons each week by subscribing to the Midway Mennonite Podcast. If you live in the Mahoning County or Columbiana County area, we'd love for you to come engage with our faith community. For directions and worship times, visit us at Facebook or at MidwayMennonite.com. Thanks for listening.
This morning I'll be reading from Romans 8, verses 24 through 28. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches out hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
I should say at the opening, lest any of you get too comfortable out there, I was assured there'd be a number of people doing this, so we will go from there. Let's pray. Lord, as we have met together this morning, we pray that as we share and recall your presence in our lives, your faithfulness, your wisdom, your forgiveness, that together it may be a time of new appreciation of all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is supposed to be my spiritual journey. Well, it started, I guess you'd call me a lifetime member, because I was born in 1925, and so by logical deduction, I started attending here sometime late in 1924. and I like to say that Ruth and I were both burped on the same bench in the back of the church. Now, how romantic is that? When did you first understand there was a God and that it mattered? It was in the home, naturally, that we were always had daily reading, worship, and we attended church every Sunday. But our education started in little red chairs right below where we are sitting now. And we sang songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and red, brown, yellow, black, and white, Jesus, all are precious in his sight, Jesus loves all the little children. But I seemed to have a problem with the Trinity, because there was another song they sang, and they would very, emphatically sing. They would say, he sees all you do, he hears all you say, our God is writing all the time, time, time. That one scarred me. I still remember it 90 years later. You know, and I have a little different opinion of God at this point, but I think that was used to keep the Wigglers in their chair when they'd bring that song up and sing it. We had revival meetings in those days, and incidentally, I think church camp has replaced what used to be revival meeting for young people to make a decision for the Lord. And I go back far enough that I can remember when there was still one horse and buggy attending Midway. There was Nick Stempley. He lived in the house for Molly and Lucy grew up. Route 11 wasn't here, and there was one horse and buggy back there yet. But I remember going to a church, this is supposed to be my last story, so for whatever it's worth, in East Lewistown, different evangelists would come through there, and evidently there were some naturally better than others, but there must have been one that had pretty profound influence on the community, because we have a copy at home of, I think, 12 men from the community, and they were baptized, and three or four of them were from Midway. But I particularly remember one that came through, evangelist, and he was being chased by the communists. I'd never heard the word before, and the communists were after him, and he had to be pretty well convinced that about the end of all things, where the communists were chasing him, and he made the statement. He said they chased him, and he went 80 miles an hour for I forget how long one night. And after he said that, I never heard another word he said, because I could not wait to get outside and see what kind of a car he had that would go 80 miles an hour. And I still don't believe that his 1931 Pontiac would go 80 miles an hour. But and when we grew up, where I live now is the 14th time I have moved in my life. And when we were growing up, we moved about every 2 years. And I went to 5 different schools, and one of them twice. And you're always the new kid in school. And it's tough being the new kid in school. And the church, the Sunday school, was our only stability that we had in our life. An example of what it's like to be the new kid. Fairfield School, everybody had dinner buckets. Well, the lunch pails. And we didn't. Lunch pails cost money in those days. If it cost money, you change the subject. But eventually, we got dinner buckets. Then we moved to Springfield. And lo and behold, all the children carried their lunches in newspaper. And I can still remember going home on the bus, and Lauren and I were sitting in the front seat with our dinner buckets, the only one in the system, and a girl behind us says they're carrying home scraps for the chickens. You know, now, think with me how you say things. If she just asked me, are you taking home scraps for the chickens, you know, I could have answered her, but they are taking, it just emphasized that we were a little weird. And so, but there again, it made the church all the more precious to us, I guess would be the term. And in those days growing up, we always had church on Sunday night. And the church was more of a, the children, I think, were a little better connected, or were more friendship between them, because we had church on Sunday night, so on Sunday morning church, we'd go home to somebody else's place and play their children. We'd go go home with John Allen and play with him in his greenhouse in the wintertime. And in the evening, they'd bring us back, and then we'd go home. So we had a very close relationship with the other children in the school. And it gave some stability to all our moving around. And now, the mentors in my life, I never had, and I miss it, I never had a mentor that we'd sit down and, you know, have serious conversations on spiritual matters. But I have to thank Steve Yoder, the pastor of the Latonia Mennonite Church, was probably my first mentor. And saying that, in those days, we always had a church chorus. The 3 churches had a chorus. And my folks sang in the chorus, and Mrs. Yoder sang in the chorus. And so my folks would pick Mrs. Yoder up, and we would sit with Steve. And Steve Yoder had a radio. And there, that little box, and you could hear people talking, and you turn that knob, and there were other people talking. And we didn't even have electricity in our house. And Steve, we'd listen to Lum and Abner, which was kind of a humorous program, and Steve was a good-natured, and Steve was my mentor in the fact that he was the first person that ever dawned on me that you could be a Christian and enjoy life. Because seriously, at home, you know, the diet was the things we mustn't do. You don't do this, we don't do that, you can't do this. You know, this is wrong and that's wrong. And and then there was David Wenger, Dale's father. He was a mentor, and he was probably my best mentor that I had. And a little sideline to that, at his funeral, Larry Rohr asked how many people have been mentored by Brother David, and some hands went up. And then Larry said, how many people have been mentored by Brother David that didn't ask for it? And some more hands went up. So, and Doris will be surprised to hear this, but her older brother Howard, in a way, was an example, I guess, for me, but he was an example of someone living an intentional lifestyle. And I was impressed with him. He had abilities, he had education, but he lived what I considered an intentional lifestyle. And I must have been teaching class, and because I can remember whenever I would see him coming in, I would relax. I knew the class would go if Howard came in. And I guess to that extent, they were my mentors. Where are you now, and how do you see God? I think Ernest asked that question one time, and I asked him, how much time do you have? I hardly know where to start with this, but one thing, God keeps us on a short leash, and I think we hear better when you do that. For example, as recently as Monday morning, I was supposed to get something together for a meditation, and I was thinking in terms of pruning. I was reading the chapter from John, and the whole concept of pruning, and if you do good, you'll get pruned even more. And lo and behold, in the Rejoice magazine that morning, there the reference was from Proverbs, and it told, young man, if you do this, you do on and on and on. Young man, if you, your crops will produce, and you'll want your wine vats will run over, and you will live a long and happy life, and all that. And then after all that, at the end, it says, young man, do not resent it when the Lord corrects you. There you go, pruning again. And that fit right into what I was supposed to say an hour and a half later. It's interesting how God works. And while I'm talking about the Rejoice magazine, I love that magazine. Some years ago, I had a court hearing for a traffic situation. And I had to wait about a month till the hearing date came up. And I was getting a little stressed because if I would lose my driver's license, my life would be pretty well over. And I think I'll say that again because I have some family members here. But the last line in the devotional the day before my hearing was, I, your accuser and judge, am with you. I felt like I had just walked through a shower when I read that. But so I like the oh my. In 1985, Landmark Foods went out of business, and I lost my job. And it happened that the church was putting in their elevator then, and I worked for about 2 weeks on that. And then I went down to help Greg build a house down in Coshocton that year. And I had a good time. All summer long, I was helping him build his house. And it occurred to me, and I started repeating Romans 8:28. And I told somebody, I kept repeating it till I started believing it myself. And I honestly don't believe I ever prayed for a job. I just went with Romans 8:28, and enjoyed the summer. Of course, Ruth was working, so we were still eating regularly. And along about fall, I got a phone call from a neighbor, and he offered me the best job I ever had in my life. It was only part-time, but I needed 5 years for my retirement, and I got my time in that way. And it paid well when I worked, and it was a part-time job. It paid my retirement and my health insurance. And it was a beautiful job and only part-time. Now go find one of those today. I think that job was made for me. Oh, let's see. Another occasion, I guess, when I think I'm probably missing some things here, but I was talking about God keeping us on a short leash. When that Romans 8:28, I went with the flow and kept repeating the verse. And then I was laying in the hospital with broken hip. And I just laying there, I thought, here I am. And I don't know if I laughed to myself or not. I said, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to learn from this? And it only took, I don't know, it was 1 or 2 days. And I hope I can get through this. A get well card from this Gerald Parker that you've heard about. He wrote me a letter, and there were 14 prisoners signed their names that they were praying for me. Now, did I have any choice but to get better? I feel fine now. But it depends a little on how you say things. I had 14 prisoners praying for me, I said that. But if you read Matthew 5:25, it gives a list of things. Have you done them for the least of these, my brothers? And Greg lived in Louisiana for 4 years, 2 years in the bayous and 2 in New Orleans, and his comment was the politics in Louisiana is like a foreign country. And talking about the least of these, if you are in Louisiana and you are black and you are in jail, you are the least of the species. But that's one way to think of those men. And the other way to think about it is 14 of Jesus' brothers were praying for me. That's a different story. And I learned from that I think I'm a member of a mega church, the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. Instead of them saying they're praying for some old white guy up north, they were praying for a brother in the Lord. It makes all the difference in the world how you say things. Question, how did you get to Midway? Well, as I said before, I think I am a lifetime member. And did you ever consider attending elsewhere? And yes, I've often thought, I wonder what it would be like to just go to a church where nobody knew anything else and you were just there because you wanted to have a church. And I don't hear from the Lord very often, but He spoke to me. He says, when have you tried to start one? Ouch. I don't know, but I was thinking on this, I want to have one all set up and I'll go and join if I feel like it. And yeah, but when have I done anything to get what I think would be nice? When have I made any effort to help something like that? And it said, why have you stayed so long? And this is probably part of the same thinking. It's so comfortable here. But this is a place where I am fed spiritually and where I enjoy fellowship, and it's the only church I know, actually. Actually, when I was in the service in Australia, I attended chapel there a time or two, and I was only 18 years old, but I came away from there, what is that man talking about? And you know, I never went back. And I guess one of the questions is here, when was a dry time in your life? And certainly my time in the service was that. And also, as I said, we constantly moved, going to different schools, and I started in North Lima, and what do you know, I wound up back in North Lima. Well, and all my friends from church most of them were going to North Lima, so I got this bee in my bonnet. I was going to graduate from the same church that I started in. And my uncle lived in the school district, so I stayed with him. And to pay my board, I worked weekends. Gordon Yoder and I worked weekends up at Tech Dairy. So that was a time when I was not attending church, and Ruth says, she doesn't remember me here. Yeah, that's because I wasn't here. But that was kind of a spiritual dry time for me because of the fact that we were simply busy with other things. At this point in your life, does Midway as a community of faith make a difference for you, and how? Well, it's the only church that I have known, and it's where I am fed spiritually, and I enjoy fellowship, and it is the only thing I know of church, so I really don't know how I can enlarge on that. Some of you that have attended for a long time will know that. And there again, I'm not sure that we wouldn't benefit if we were in a church where we didn't know each other, and we were there simply because we wanted to have a place for worship and to be fed spiritually. I suppose I am leaving out a lot. I can't think of anything more right now. But I guess the best that I can say is that I started out singing the song. I'm still singing the same song that I sang in primary department when down in Sunday school. I'm still singing the same song, but it's only half as long. Jesus loves me. This I know.